Welcome to the Tripod, where we break down the NRL every game, every week from a punting perspective. I'm Jacob Wynn. This is the grand final preview. Last week, 1-0 on best bets, 100% winning on best bets for the finals, 62% best bets this season. We won the mixed matchup again, $2.40. That was paying last week, including linking in with the AFL grand final. We've won 69% of mixed matchups this season at average odds above $2.50. Multis have remained plus 16 units. We haven't had one for a couple of weeks, but we'll finish in positive territory with multis. If you'd add 100 on every best bet and mixed matchup, your profit is 3,500. That's 35 times your stake if you're a $100 punter. And I'll recap to the prelims on Sunday. Welcome to go back and hear my thoughts on that if you haven't already. Now, I've got a special grand final preview. You can see I've got a guest here who I'm going to introduce in just a second. I'm actually not going to give you any bets right off the top. We're going to do it slightly differently because my guest who I'm about to introduce, we haven't discussed our plays yet and what we like. So we're going to just let it play out, let it unfold. And we have a lot of bets that we're going to share. So obviously we'll tell you which side we like and why each of us, the total, Clive Churchill, value players. I've got a double digit one I really like, really tasty, a custom mixed matchup, grand final, same game multi as well to share. And just our goal in the next half hour or so is we want to just cover every factor that a punter should consider before betting on the big dance. Joining me is Matheos the Podonis. Thank you for joining me, mate. Could you give a little background into yourself? I know people should be aware if they're following the group, and we've had you on as for a cameo pick for the last few weeks, but talk about your punting background and even where you got the name Podonis, some people have been asking.
No problem. Thanks for having me on. It's great to be here to preview the grand final with yourself. Look, so my experience betting on NRL has been the last 5 or 6 years. I stumbled across the pod around about the same time, 2016, 2017 odd. And the insight that yourself and Alex have done over the last few years has really improved and expanded my knowledge. NRL has always been a sport that I've played. I played Harold Matz in under 16s for Canterbury Bankstown. I'm from Sydney. For those of you who don't know, the name Podonis actually is generated from my sort of Greek name as well, because Adonis is someone, a Greek god. So hopefully I'm the Greek god of punting.
And, mate, one question I've got, you said you've been punting for 5 years, so you can confirm for all the people watching, you are over 18 years old then.
Yeah,
I get that a lot. Oh, it's better than looking 40 like I am. Mate, it's clear to me from the insights you've shared as well as the tips. No, I'm not trying to take credit for your knowledge, but like you come across as a pod disciple. I mean that in a compliment, that like the way that you share your insight is really valuable. And I honestly, I'll say this flat out, like I didn't know if I'd ever see anyone else tip a full season of NRL over 60%. I didn't know if I'd ever see it done, but the fact that it is done by somebody who's followed the pod for years, I'm super proud of that. I'm proud of what you've achieved this year, and it's been a pleasure to include your insights throughout the finals. And it's also clear to me, I didn't know you play as well, but it's clear to me you're obsessed and you've got the knowledge, and it's going to be a great asset to share as we break down the game today, mate. Now 69 and 45, I believe, is your record on the best bets you shared throughout the year in the group, in the app. That's 61%. But there's an elephant in the room, mate. Early in the year, you were sharing your best bets. I was sharing mine. You had power ratings as well, which we're going to incorporate. And you flagged with me early in the year. Funnily enough, it was a Roosters-Rabbitohs game. And I liked the Roosters. And you flagged with me you liked the Rabbitohs. You were right on that occasion, maybe seeing some early value in the Rabbitohs. And I said, hey, good call. Let's keep a record. Every time you disagree with me, we'll keep a side bet record this year, see how we go. Do you have our current side bet record in front of you?
It doesn't look very good for my part. Our side bet record is 1-6 in your favour.
And any explanation for that, mate, or just small sample size? Or?
Well, funnily enough, 3 times I've gone against you has actually been me tipping the Panthers. It was 2 of those games occurred during the Origin period, where I still sort of trusted the size of, and the depth of their squad better than yourself, but obviously it wasn't to be. I'd like to say it was a small sample, but... yeah, here we are.
Well, you know, that also shows that you've been high on Penrith all year. In fact, you tipped them to win the grand final as well over $3 odds when it was clear that Nathan Cleary was not going to be out for the season. And obviously that's a good odds to have in your pocket. We're going to get straight into the game now and starting with lineups. But before we do that, we're going to hear from the bookie that's been a big support to us So me this year, keeping the pod alive and a big benefit to everyone who's jumped aboard, we've got some grand final market analysis and a prediction from Tristan at TopSport.
G'day, Tripod family, it's Tristan Merlihan here from TopSport. Very close to the big dance, only a few days away. Cannot wait, it's going to be a cracking match. It's $1.65 Penrith, $2.26 South Sydney at the moment. The line's 3.5. It has moved slightly South's way in the last couple of days, just on the basis of Davida Pangai Jr. officially being ruled out. We did have him out. We expected him to be out, but with that confirmation, it has moved a couple of cents South's way. It's been a very even back and forth wagering affair. We've taken one really sizable bet on Penrith, 60,000 at $1.67. But away from that, the money's been evenly spread. Generally in these grand finals, you get a lot of action where people, if one of the favoured teams is in the grand final, a lot of punters will take the plus and try to put themselves in a win-win situation and get the split. This year's a little bit different, and it seems just to be a pure betting event where people are factoring in their positions. Just because South Sydney were out the gate, they weren't considered a chance of making the grand final once Latrell got rubbed out, and Penrith were obviously on the wrong side of the draw after week one of the finals as well. So if people wanted to do anything with their end-of-season commitments, they've probably already got it sorted. So a lot of money both ways. There's a lot of people of that opinion. The extra week off is going to help South Sydney. So I'm a big Panthers fan. I have to subscribe to the other side of the agenda. I'm hoping Penrith get the job done. They'll be focusing on their defence. I hope they kick away late. I'm tipping about an 18-10 scoreline. And I'm thinking away from the obvious, Nathan Cleary getting the Clive Churchill. I think Isaiah Yeo is a really big hope in there. He'll get all the little things done. I think he's a big chance of getting the medal. Our biggest bet on the Clive Churchill medal is on Cameron Murray, $2,000 at $12. We've taken a lot of other little bets. I'm sure we'll take plenty of bets on Nathan Cleary and Cody Walker late. We have taken $500 on Damien Cook at 71 early in the season, earlier in the final series. So that one will be an awkward little watch as we get throughout the game. Make sure you enjoy the game if you are having a wager. Now, the other thing I forgot to touch on was that the total points. The total points are now down to one of the lowest we've seen all season, where it's into 38 flat. There is a little bit of rain coming tomorrow and Friday, Wednesday today. So, you know, that rain will hinder things, but it should fine up Saturday, Sunday. Obviously, Suncorp's a pretty good drying stadium. If the game does happen to get moved to Townsville, which it is a chance of doing, all those bets will stand. Because the game has been played in the same state and it's been played at a neutral venue. So if it does get moved, all your wagers will stand. Good luck if you're having a wager. Make sure you do it responsibly and enjoy the grand final day. It's one of the best days of the year. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Tristan. Okay, we're going to go lineups here. And the big one, I guess, with Penrith, Tevita Pangai Jr. is a big loss. MCL, he's going to be out for this game. Moses Leota does come in. Other than that, they're full strength, I suppose. The injury is worth highlighting for Penrith. Dylan Edwards has this plantar fasciitis, so he's in the boot every week at the start of the week just because less weight-bearing helps that heal. They're saying it's something that he can play through with pain. Fisher Harris, they say, has a knee complaint. I know at the end of the year, a lot of players have the little niggles here and there. Kickow, we've got to monitor with the ankle, but he got through the game against the Storm. To'o, kind of same deal. Cleary has dealt with this shoulder injury that needs surgery, but he has still played pretty good footy since he's returned. And on South's side of the equation, they named the same 1-17 that rolled Manly last week that we won our best bet on. But that big elephant in the room there, of course, is the Reynolds groin. He does get 9 days to prepare. Do you want to start there? Look, are there any other injuries that I didn't flag there, or is there any that you're most concerned about could have an impact on the result?
Look, in terms of injuries, I think everyone's talking about Adam Reynolds and is his groin going to be all right? Look, I think having the 9-day turnaround for him will dramatically improve his leg, and I think he'll be 100% right. We saw early on in that game against Manly, he didn't take any fifth tackle kicks. He wasn't kicking goals, but then towards the end of the game, I think you see that once it warmed up and stretched out, he was kicking a lot more. So I don't think he's a concern at all. So for any South fans, your halfback will be right.
Yeah, I'm 100% sure he's going to play because of that turnaround, the treatment he can get. But you've still got to acknowledge it. Like, if you're backing South, there is that chance. Does he do less in-game kicking? There's still the possibility that he just doesn't goal kick because it's not worth the risk of aggravating it. Of course, the other benefit you have is not every team has a NRL starting seven caliber player on their bench. In a catastrophe scenario, Marshall can come on and play seven. That certainly helps. Mate, this is where I want to start, right? These teams have played each other three times this year, but most recently in week one of the finals. And here we are, as Tristan mentioned, the line is 3.5, Penrith's favoured. Total is dropping 37.5 some places. I think still flat 38 on toppy there. Right, the line was 10.5 in week one. Now we're at 3.5. So I wanted us, I thought it'd be an interesting experiment or procedure to actually go through the adjustments that we would have had to make to each of these teams. So like, is Penrith worse than we thought in week one of the finals? Obviously, I think we all agree Souths are better. And then the big one being the cumulative fatigue factor that we're going to dive into as well, which is definitely going to be massive and plays a part in this line. So let's begin, right? The line was 10.5 in week one of the finals. That doesn't mean that necessarily was correct. But what did you make the line in week one of the finals, considering as well Brian Toto was out?
Yeah, Brian Toto was out. Funnily enough, I still had that game 11.5 in Penrith's favour. I thought they were going to be the clear winners in that game. Clearly got that one wrong. And yeah, yourself?
Well, you say wrong. I'm same as you. I thought the fair line should be 10.5. Like, had I been able to lay a -9.5, I think it, when Toto was in, I was going to play that. And then once Toto was out and the line was 10.5, I thought that was about fair. So, you know, if I could have laid a number like 7.5 with Penrith, I would have been all over it. And in the end, we know they lost by 6. So that's the way it goes. It was certainly a big shock, right? Now the question is, how much better or worse do you think Penrith are than they were in week one of the finals? Have you upgraded or downgraded them based on the three performances you've seen since then?
Penrith as a team, I'd probably say that they're on the same level that they were pre-finals, in my opinion. There is a slight downgrade naturally because of the cumulative fatigue and the amount of sheer games and the intensity that they've had to play with. So that's probably the only downgrade I would make. I wouldn't downgrade them on any ability, on defensive ability, or on attack.
All right, well, let's talk about ability. That's fair, because we'll handle the fatigue separately. I look at it, I maybe downgrade Penrith 1 point from what I thought they were going into the finals. Now, keep in mind, I had a really high opinion of Penrith going in. They underperformed in week one of the finals, starts to raise questions about how good their attack can be. They underperformed in scraping past the Eels, and again, the attack was found out, but phenomenal defense got them through that week two finals game. And then you upgrade them as well. The defense was absolutely top notch, getting that upset over the Storm with all the conditions against them and just knowing how phenomenal that Storm side is. But again, if you still want to like nitpick, they've now scored, you know, 4 tries in the finals in 3 games, 3 of them off kicks, right? And you do lose to Vita Pangai Jr. And I thought he really was a big impact. But of course, Toto is back, you know, returned in week 2 of the finals. Dylan Edwards wasn't in the team in week 1 of the finals either. So I said downgrades Penrith maybe 1 point, but maybe it's fair to say Penrith's kind of, they are who we thought they were coming into the finals. I think the defense is better, even better than what we thought, but the attack maybe not as good. Now, I'm sure you're going to agree with me, we upgrade Souths, but how much have you upgraded Souths? How good do you think of their ability since week 1 of the finals?
Part of that week 1 finals rating was based on Souths were unproven against Melbourne and Penrith against the so-called big two. And look, we've also seen Souths went for periods in throughout the season where they would leak a lot of points in games. They didn't have that defensive resolve. So I've upgraded Souths 4.5 points since the final started. Look, a big part of it was the injury to Latrell Mitchell. Myself included, I thought Souths didn't have any hope of making the grand final now. But I think that they've managed to deal with that quite well. Bennett's banded everyone together. They've sort of put an emphasis on defense. Cody Walker and Reynolds have increased their touches dramatically. So they've sort of carried the side on their back. And I think that's helped them and put them in good stead here.
I'm right there with you. I estimated I would upgrade Souths 4 points. And I roughly said, well, I think straight away, I'm just upgrading fullback position by a full point because it was such a big question mark going into the finals. It's somewhat been answered. Taft's played better than we could have expected. And there's natural improvement too, that he's got those games under his belt. I've just upgraded the forward pack of Souths a point as well. I just think that their big game players are playing to the best of their ability and the bench guys are chipping in. They've just gone up a gear. And then I'm just attributing 2 extra points to South defense, purely because it's reached a level that we hadn't seen, and you touched on that as well. So we upgrade South's 4 points. And then the last question is, How much is that cumulative fatigue disparity worth? Obviously, we're going to factor in the difference in the amount of energy that was exerted last week. We'd agree that Penrith had a harder game. It was a day shorter prep. But then you go back week two of the finals. Penrith played a war against Power while Souths didn't play. And if you even want to go to round 25, it was a walk in the park, but Penrith played all their starters. Souths played none of them. What's that all worth? I know it's a hard one, but it's a really important question. To be able to make this line, you've kind of got to know what it's worth. What do you estimate it at?
Look, it is a very hard question because I've seen Penrith sort of come through the last 3 weeks. And are they better mentally than they were 3 weeks ago? So mental fatigue as well is just as important as physical fatigue. So physically, I'd probably make it worth 2.5 to 3 points. But I think from a mindset point of view, getting over Melbourne was such a huge advantage for the Panthers. Sort of looked like a release for them, physically and mentally. They looked a lot freer on the pitch after the game. That's for sure.
Yeah, it's a funny one. Like, it's a boost, a mental boost that you got over the hill. You beat the team that you knew all year you have to. But then you say, like, what have you spent? All that time you were thinking about it, and sometimes you have that relief of that Hughes performance, and it's like you've played your grand final. So I think that's debatable as well, like whether or not the fact that they overcame their arch nemesis and they got their revenge, like, does it serve them well this week or not? But the truth is just the miles, and we all know war of attrition, I say all the time, especially late in the NRL. It's all added up. It's why I think Penrith have a few more players, a little bit more busted and bruised as well. And I agree. I thought last week alone, tougher match, I thought was worth 1 or 1.5 points advantage to Souths. And then I'm going to also go back to week two and I'm going to say playing in a war versus no match at all is worth 1 or 1.5 to Souths, even though it's 2 weeks ago now. It all adds up. So I said net advantage Souths in terms of freshness, 2.5 points. So yep. When I add it up, I go week one of the finals, I thought the line should have been 10.5, but now I've downgraded Penrith 1 point because their attack, like overall, I'm just not sure if they're at quite that same level they were start of the year. So then it should have been 9.5, but now I've upgraded South's 4 points. So now we're at 5.5. And then I'm saying that all the fatigue and everything that brings the line down to 3, I have it at, which basically is what it's at now. You've maybe not downgraded Penrith, but you're probably right there with me. What are your power ratings make this line?
My power rating makes this line -4.5 at the moment.
Yep. And that's trying to account into Penrith's rating the downgrade of fatigue as well then?
Correct. It is trying to really account for that. And then when you look at Souths, if you ask any team in the comp, what sort of preparation do you want for a grand final? I think everyone will take the path that Souths have had.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing is, I didn't play Penrith last week. You did, and you liked them to hang close with the Storm. Biggest reason that kept me off it was I was fearing about their energy reserves, right? And then we saw them play so well. So some people are going to say, well, that proves they're not worn out. Like, that's eliminated those concerns. But on the other hand, it's like that was 80 more grueling minutes. Has that pushed Penrith closer to the brink? That's got to be a concern if you're backing Penrith is like, I know I said it last week and it didn't end up being the case, but is there a full tank of fuel? What's your best guess?
My best guess would say that they're running on fumes, but is that enough to see them through in a grand final when you've got one more 80 minutes to push and put everything into?
And that's the thing, is like they will just play off off spirit and off just of pure determination and will, and certainly a tight squad and, like, you know, defense's attitude. And this side is one of the best defensive sides I've ever seen. You know, talking about defense, do you want to give me your thoughts on the total? I haven't heard if you've got like a best bet or more than one best bets you've got to share in this game. You can share them later. Maybe it links in with the total, but just give us your thoughts on this total. It's 37.5 mostly across the board.
Given what we've seen so far in the season, 37.5 seems quite low on paper, and even past finals matches last year as well. But I would say that it's probably fair given what we've seen with the Panthers defensively. They've gone to another level. Defense can always keep them in games. And I think the start in this game, the first 20, 25 minutes will be crucial into determining the outcome, both total and match result. If Penrith get on the front foot like they did against Melbourne early, then that'll sort of bring them into the game a bit more. The tiredness will sort of eradicate. And then South will have to maybe come out of their shell and they have to play more expansively. So I think the total's fair. What about you?
Yeah, I can't play the over. I know that just because the type of game I'm expecting. And this total is even lower than what there was in Origin games. And I'm expecting an Origin-style match. And I will say I think a lower scoring game suits Penrith. And we've seen all three of their finals games have been lower scoring. And I say that because I think a more open game, South's spine players, who are the players that touch the ball more, are probably more scary runners. And just generally a more open game means more opportunities to run for your guys like Cody Walker, Damien Cook. So I like under on the, I would actually say for punting advice, I wouldn't be backing anybody any time try scorer. I don't think there'll be necessarily that many tries. You're going to see some players, the odds are going to look a little bit more juicy. It's for a reason that there's expected to be less tries in this game. So there's kind of less value in those ones. You know, last couple of weeks as well, we've had a couple of finals games finish, 8-6 and 10-6. And those games have been described by everybody as a couple of the best finals in recent history. So I don't think there's any referee agenda that they've got to open the game up. I think, you know, everyone loves a tight contest. So I think it'll be more like Origin refereeing where the refs kind of want to stay out of it. I don't have a best bet on the total, but I'm going to share a bonus tip anyway because I was close. Maybe not best bet level confidence because, as you said, it's like the lowest total of the year. But consider this. I would play the under 18.5 in the first half on Ladbrokes and Ned. Some bookies have gone down to 17.5. That's $1.87. And again, that's if you want a play as well at like kind of 50-50 odds or something to consider for your same game multi. So what do you reckon about that?
Not a bad bet. As always, it's always tighter in the first half, as we said, and second half can open up. And if Penrith do have that fatigue and the fuel tank does empty, then the second half is when we'll see the points. So the first half's definitely the way to play the under if you like it.
I agree. And I also agree what you said before about how the start for Penrith is so crucial. I got a stat on that to share as well. But when we look at a big matchup, I always look at the prior matchups and see what we can learn. These sides have played three times this year. Can you let me know your one or two biggest takeaways, something that you learned about this matchup from what you've seen in the prior clashes?
So the first clash, as we know, it was a complete downhill performance from the Panthers. So I'm not really taking away too much because early in the season, South sort of hadn't even hit their stride yet. But look at the last two games, the one at Suncorp Stadium, round 2022, I think it was, and then the first week of the finals in Townsville. I think the biggest takeaway for me in that game was how Penrith controlled the ruck. And that's what we didn't see in week one of the finals. And that's what sort of culminated in them losing. So that's another key matchup and something to look out for.
Yeah, I agree. Kind of throw out the Dubbo clash. Penrith put 56 on Souths, but Souths were nowhere near the finished product. And to be told, Penrith were absolutely flying at the time. You look at how Penrith was able to beat Souths later in the season. I agree, like that absolute intensity and physicality. I think it was round 22. And now I just wonder who will be the more physical, the more fierce, and have more energy in this game. I do think there is a scenario where Souths could just overpower them, and especially in the second half. And that's the biggest reason why I can't play Penrith. We'll get to who you like on the side, but I won't be playing Penrith because I just think there is that possibility that we do see in games. And you go back to the 2015 grand final, which I referred to a little bit in the recap, because I actually said that I was getting 2015 vibes out of Penrith when they lost to Souths in week one of the finals, that they reminded me of that Cowboys team. And that's the last time a team lost in week one of the finals, but then still made the grand final. And in fact, as we know, the Cowboys won. And I remember that was the first year we did the pod. We did tip Cowboys $7 to win the comp. But I remember trying to handicap that grand final. And it was clear to me, okay, Brisbane's had the easier path. Brisbane got to stay in Brisbane. They got the bye. They won their prelim. Roosters got a bit rattled that year and Brisbane won comfortably. Whereas Cowboys had to go the long way around. But what I also knew in 2015 was it's clear to me the Cowboys are the better team. They have the higher ability. And this year, there's a lot of parallels with that. We all know Souths have had, you know, the easier path, but we probably all agree Penrith's got the greater ability. Also, another parallel there being Wayne Bennett is coaching that team in 2015 that got the easier pathway and is again here. So that's where I'm at with this game, and that's why I kind of feel like the line is about right. Why don't you tell us which side are you leaning, or does it play into a best bet that you've got?
So, spoiler alert now, I actually haven't got a best bet in this game. Sometimes you just can't get there with a side. And look, I don't feel right to the followers just to give a best bet just because it is the grand final. There's plenty of other opportunities to make money in. You don't have to spend it in a grand final. If you're happy to do a same game multi, if that's something you guys want to do. But for me personally, I haven't got a best bet in this game. I made the line 4.5, but for the reasons you mentioned and the fact that fatigue is such a big element in the NRL these days, I can't get there with Penrith, even though my ratings would sort of lean to taking them as a side. So I'm just happy to ride my futures bet at $3.20 and let's see how that plays out.
And I think you've got a value play to share on the game as well, as we get to later on in the pod. But so would it be fair to say if you had to play it at $2 at 3.5, then your lean is Penrith?
Yes, it would be, yeah.
Yeah, and my lean is actually Souths for those reasons that I stated. But then people might ask, why not take Souths as a best bet plus 3.5? And so I've got my reservations with Souths, one being the slight risk with Adam Reynolds that, you know, if he's not 100%, because I think Ender Sets is so crucial, his kicking game and his conversions, there could be a big disparity there if he's not taking the conversions for Souths compared to Cleary, knocks him over for fun. I think a guy like Damien Cook and Cody Walker to a lesser extent, they're less effective in tight style matches. These guys are the highlight reel type players that look awesome, and when we think of them at their best, it's in games that are more open. And even in the prelim, that game was open and you know, free-flying footy, and they did a number on Manly. But I just think this game's going to be more similar to the previous Penrith games. Now, that's not to say these guys can't still be good. Walker was fantastic in week one of the finals. And Souths won a grinding-style match. But I don't necessarily see guys like that dominating. And if I look across the park, kind of put the spines aside, because both sides have awesome spines, and I want to ask you, you know, if you see any big edge in the personnel groupings, but I see game breakers outside of the spine in To'o, Crichton, Burton, Kickow, Martin, but I think can change a game outside of the spine and outside of the best defense in the comp. So I'm kind of thinking the bookies have got the line about right. And if I have to pick a winner, I'm picking Penrith. But if I have to lean with the start, then I'm going, I have to go South Sydney, because there is that possibility that they're just going to be just so much more energetic. Why don't you tell us, if you kind of, when you match these sides up, we look at outside backs, spine, forwards, coaching, wherever you like, do you see a big edge across any of these units?
It's quite tight. The biggest edge in the game for me would be Penrith's edge in the outside backs versus South's outside backs. So as you mentioned, Crichton and To'o, their ability to make yards on kick returns is something quite formidable for the Panthers. And when you look at Souths, they're a lot, I wouldn't say weaker, but physically they're not as strong. So I think a big edge in this game is Cleary's kicking game. If he can get Penrith's aggression early in defence and pin Souths back, will their back three make as many yards as Penrith's back three? And I would say no to that. And that's my biggest edge in the game. And that would help Penrith's forward pack get on top, knowing that Souths are starting on the back foot.
And on that note, so with you being leaning Penrith's way, well, let's give a tip for the Clive Churchill as well. Who do you like? You can talk about where do you see value? And value doesn't have to be long odds, but where do you see the value in that?
So I think everyone's tip would be Nathan Cleary if Penrith win and Cody Walker if Souths win. I'm happy to steer away from those, because generally the sides that the public sort of bet on are the ones that offer little value. I'd probably say that if you like Penrith, Isaiah Yeo is probably a good pick at $13 there. I think he's really critical to what the Panthers do and their success in this game. I think we've seen in week one and two of the finals, he played a really simplified game plan. He didn't really have all those same nuances that he normally does in attack, where he draws in defenders and he can pass two out the back. So I think against Melbourne, we saw a completely different game from him, where he sort of avoided the early ruck battle against the Storm, where Penrith shifted the ball a lot quite early, and that sort of helped them later on, where we saw Coruscant being able to get out of dummy half late in that game and dominate the ruck. So I think that's a big factor that helps Yeo. And if you can do the same thing against Souths, that'll really bring Luai into the game as well, and it'll bring Coruscant into the game late, and he'd be my pick.
You know, I think that's a really good pick. I think I've seen Yeo around the $13 mark. Tristan actually shared him as his pick as well, outside of Cleary, and it can easily go to Cleary. If I draw the parallel back to 2015, I don't even think Thurston was best on ground, but he just got it because he was the Cowboys. And I think you could get Thurston was about the $4 mark, which was actually great odds back then, because it was a lot more likely that Thurston would get it in a Cowboys win. But everything runs through Cleary, but I'm actually with you with Yeo. But I'm going to talk a bit more about Clive Churchill, because that actually links in with my mixed matchup. Before we get to your value play, was there any other, if you've got notes, or is there any other factors that we haven't kind of touched on that you think is important in the outcome of this game?
I think a factor in this game is just the personality and the swagger that Penrith sort of might or used to have at the start of the season, where they were accused by everyone as being arrogant. I think beating Melbourne sort of maybe has brought that back into the team a little bit more. We saw on Monday's media day, the press conference there, where Kikau wheels out To'o in a wheelchair, sort of making fun of the fact that there's injuries and the talk about injuries. So I think, if you're a Penrith fan, that's a good sign to see, because that's their sort of personality and arrogance coming back into the team. So does that help them on grand final day? Maybe. But they couldn't have rediscovered it at a better time.
And I'll throw a counter factor to that. I think the pressure factor, I do think pressure, Penrith. You know, I said before this season that for Souths, they'd lost in three straight prelims. Like, an achievement for Souths this year would be to make the grand final. And look, they have. And of course, they want to send, you know, Reynolds out a winner and Marshall and Bennett, 10th grand final. They love to win it, of course. They're going to be desperate, like everybody is. Whereas for Penrith, I actually think it's somewhat failure if they don't win, because it's like Ivan Cleary will be either first or second, maybe second all-time matches coached without a grand final win, and the team that's gotten to the precipice but failed. So I think there's a little bit more maybe confidence in the South squad that they're here to win it. And Bennett loves playing up that underdog, you know, role there. And we've seen him pull some upsets, including what he did with Queensland last year. Whereas for Penrith, I think pressure on. Would you agree with that?
I think you hit the nail on the head there. I think Penrith can be accused of playing within themselves over the final series. That probably is a big indicator that the pressure is there and they all feel it.
And then the one game where the pressure kind of wasn't on because they were a big underdog, they had their best performance last week. We're going to get yours and my value play, but first we've actually got a couple more cameos we're going to listen to now from The Undertaker and Nicole at Sports Tech Daily. Let's listen to The Undertaker's best bet for the grand final.
Hey guys, Matt O'Keefe with my grand final best bet. Regarding the game, really tough one for me. I fancy a low scoring game. Ordinarily, I'd be all over Penrith minus 2.5 or 3.5, but the path that these both teams have had have just been so much different. South had a good week in a good win in week one, beating Penrith, having the week off, then kind of not spending much energy at all, smashing Manly, whereas Penrith, you kind of feel like they've already played two grand finals. Had to fight so hard to get through Parramatta in the first week and then tooth and nail again last week against the Storm. You just got to wonder how much energy they've got left in the tank. My best bet, because I'm a bit of a coward and can't pick a side, I'm just going to go South Sydney team total, 11 to 20 points, $2.32 on Top Sport with the top-up button. Yeah, again, I can't really pick a side, but I feel pretty good about South getting between 11 to 20 points. Again, Penrith haven't conceded more than 16 points with Cleary in the team. I do fancy they can get over 10, though. So at $2.32, I think that's a likely landing spot for South's team total. Good luck.
Thank you, Matty O'Keefe, who also does NFL plays for us and had a winning week on his NFL props. He shares that on Saturday, Prop Me Up, on the Facebook page, Tripod Facebook page. Now, he won his best bet last week. He was actually on the same play as you, Matthäus. Either team, 1-12, Panthers, Storm. That was a nice, easy winner. And I thought he was leaning towards the same type of bet this week when he said he didn't really have an inclination either way. He's actually gone South's team total 11 to 20. It's a funny one. I feel like you don't play that unless you've got confidence in South. They've got to have a bit of success to get over 11 points. But you've also got to have faith that Penrith will last the full 80 minutes. That is a crazy stat Maddie shares there about Penrith's defence, never conceding over 16 in any games Cleary has played. Let's listen to Nicole with some try score picks.
Hey everyone, it's Nicole. Look, really excited for the NRL Grand Final, but before we get into the Valley play, I just want to quickly say thank you to Jacob for having me on the pod. It's been awesome being part of the Facebook group and really appreciate everyone's support this year. Look, I think it's going to be a cracking game. I'm personally thinking it's pretty much 50-50, so I'm excited to see what Jacob has to say on the pod tonight. And in terms of value players for try scorers, I'm going back to Alex Johnston. So we've got him priced with our model at $1.70. His career-wide try-scoring striker, if you converted that into odds, it'd be about $1.90. And we're getting him for $2.15 in the grand final. So we reckon, even if Souths don't win, we think he's a great shot at scoring a try. And love that $2.15 price on Tab and Neds and Ladbrokes. Now, going into first try scorer, I'm going to go with my guns a little bit instead of the model here. Cam Murray at 31s. If you convert the amount of times he's scored the first try in a game back into betting odds, it's about 17. So you're getting 31s for someone who's in career best form. Yes, it's going to be a tough bait game, but we're going with our gut on that one. And looking into last try scorer, Nathan Clear at 19 on Sportsbet. This is the one I'm really excited about. He's done it four times this season already, and I think it's a great value play. And for everyone that uses the age data tools on SportTech Daily, we've actually just rebranded and launched a brand new website. It's going to have stuff for cricket and also basketball, sports betting, and fantasy across the next few months. So check it out, wicky.ai. Thanks a lot, guys, and thanks a lot for all your support. All the best punting on the NRL Grand Final.
Thanks, Nicole. So Alex Johnston, like I cautioned, maybe not playing anytime try scorer, as Nicole suggested there, because the odds will be a bit higher for a reason. This is the lowest total of the year. But as for his tips for first try or last try, you can back them in any game. Like whether there's going to be 9 tries or whether there's going to be 3 in a match, there's always a first try, there's always a last try. So the value doesn't, you know, get sapped out of it in a low or a high total. So if you like the sound of that, he's going Murray first try scorer, Cleary last try scorer. What have you got for us with your value play for the GF?
So my value play for the grand final isn't necessarily what you traditionally see as being value, but I think if I had to play a bet in this game, I'd go Penrith race to 20 at $2.25 on Sportsbet. That's the way that I'd see it. If Penrith do win, then they can start the game well. We've seen Penrith, they haven't attacked that well in the first few games of the finals, but we've seen them against Penrith, against Souths in the first game. They made 3 line breaks and bombed a few tries. So I still think the value is with the over if we had to pick one. So I'm happy to take Penrith race to 20. And then if Souths get a bit desperate, they might make some mistakes and then Penrith can really open up towards the second half.
I can see that possibility that they are a confident side and they could get on top and just be playing with pure enthusiasm. And I guess, you know, we're looking at a team that's like $1.70 at best to win, but you're getting what, $2.25 if you take them race to 20. So we're talking about extra, you know, over 50 cents of odds there. And you just can't have a Penrith win that's in a lower scoring game. So if you like overs and you like Penrith, that's a pretty good way to play it. Maybe that's even better than trying to play like the Penrith team total over, because you probably think if Penrith's having their way, they're not going to concede 20 by Souths. And even in your example, they can concede 20. They just can't be the first to concede 20. All right, well, I've gone the other end of the spectrum here. 11-1. And this isn't necessarily my pick because I think I just slightly lean Penrith. I got a feeling that they may just get home and on the back of Cleary. But if the game goes the way I think Penrith's going to value the start mightily. Let's talk about the first half. Now, of course, every team wants to start a grand final well, but when you consider the memories Penrith's got from last year where they were down 26-0 at halftime, and here's a stat for you. Penrith's played 6 finals games in the last 2 years. Now, they've won 4 of them, but they're only 1-5 against the spread. And that one win being last week, what was unique about last week, among other things, that was the only game out of 6 finals games that Penrith scored first. So again, I think it shows the value that Penrith has to start well. So how about we go Panthers halftime, Rabbitohs full-time, 11-1 on Ladbrokes and Neds. I think $11 for that is pretty crazy good value when you consider you've got the favourite to be in front at halftime, and then you're just getting $11 head-to-head on Souths to come back. If you subscribe to the theory that Souths might just have more fuel in the tank, they could be the team that does come home strong, and then it could just be a question of whether Penrith's far enough in front. What do you reckon about that at 11-1?
Well, that'll be good for the Panthers, considering how they started last year's grand final. So they'd want to sort of get out of the gates early, and we might see something similar where Panthers, where they tried to come back against the Storm, couldn't, just fell short. Maybe Souths do. 11-1 is a good bet.
And that's going to feed into my mixed matchup as well, because it's a three-leg multi. Now, we've won. Well, if this wins, that'll be 21 out of 30 for the mixed matchups, 70% this year. So you might be thinking, I'm going to go safe as possible, low $2 odds, hit that 70% threshold. No one's ever going to do that again on $2.50 picks, right? But no, I got a $3 leg same game multi. $3, three legs. First one, pretty safe in my mind. I think you're going to agree with this. It's Penrith plus 8.5 in the first half. Basically, Penrith just can't be down double digits. My theory is I think Penrith wins, but I definitely think they've got to be competitive and strong in the first half. They're just going to have so much focus on that start, right? So plus 8.5 first half. Second half, then I flip and I don't see Souths going away. I think there are legitimate questions about whether Penrith lasts the 80 minutes. I think the Rabbitohs are going to bring relentless pressure all game. That's their strength. The forward pack that just keeps coming all day. And whether Souths happen to be in front, obviously with a plus 8.5 first half, Penrith doesn't need to be leading. They just can't be down, you know, 10 or more. Well, I think if South Sydney's in front, it's going to bode very well for South Sydney. But if they're behind, I do think they can come back. And I think Penrith's the kind of team actually their mentality recently has just been, let's hang on to a lead. We saw them do it against Storm. We saw them do it against the Eels, back their defense. So my second half play is South Sydney plus 8.5 with the second half line. So again, you know, if Penrith's up 10 at halftime, now we've got South Sydney plus 18.5. If Souths are up 8 at halftime, we've got Souths to win the grand final. So it's an 8.5 within the second half. Again, I expect a tight game. I expect low scoring. I think those points are valuable. In terms of this bet, the only thing that would have sunk us before full time would be Souths being up more than 9 at halftime. If you think that's going to be the case, don't back this. Maybe look at like Souths halftime, full time, or something for yourself. The final leg of the multi to get us to $3, because so far those are two pretty safe legs, is the Clive Churchill medalist to be jersey 6, 7, or 13. There's obviously six players that wear those jerseys across the two teams. Goes without saying, Nathan Cleary, if Penrith wins, huge chance. Walker for Souths, ditto, right? The two locks, and you'd like Isaiah Yeo and Cam Murray, who Tristan also said has been well supported. I think they're the leaders of their pack. They're the focal points of their attack. 13s are so important. They essentially are spine players these days. Reynolds, yes, we've mentioned injury question mark, but if Souths wins, it's more likely that Reynolds was fine and played a huge part. And then the other guy you might say, you might not really envision Luai, but you touched on Luai. He could get freed up in this game. He's still a guy with the talent. He got picked for Origin this year. It's his second grand finals, you know, second finals campaign. He's got this awesome connection with Cleary, but also the men outside him are deadly. Kickout, Burton, To'o, right? And I can just see a game plan where Souths do everything to key in on Nathan and prioritize numbering up on Nathan's side, which could be a bit like daring Luai. Can Luai beat us? Because they'd rather the game be in his hands than Nathan's hands. And Luai being a confidence player, that if he does a couple of things really well, has some moments, he could really feed off that. So I actually think it's a chance. Now, if any other jersey number wins it, we're going to lose this bet. But I feel okay about that, because it's like Taff. He's the least experienced player that's ever played the grand final, fullback for Rabbits. He could have a good game. I don't see him winning the medal. Edwards is like Mr. Consistency, often very good, but rarely the best on ground. Of course, if a prop or a second rower wins this, then, you know, that would axe our bet. But again, I think the 13s are the clear leaders. And the other guys who people might question, well, what about the 9s? So I already made the case why I think Cook could be a little bit stifled in this game by the Penrith defense and by a tight ruck and by potentially a short 10 meters and a little bit more let go in the ruck by the referee. And I think Coruscant could be huge. I think Penrith could win the game and Coruscant could have a whale of a game. And this is where I'm going to get a tiny bit political, where it's like, it's a voted award. Are they going to give it to the guy that smuggled a woman into Origin camp and then got sent home in shame and broke COVID protocol? I think if it's close, they look elsewhere. So I wouldn't back Coruscant on the fact that he's had a controversy this year. It genuinely does factor in. We've seen before, the best on ground doesn't necessarily get the vote if it doesn't meet their agenda or their narrative necessarily. So How do you like the sound of that mixed matchup to finish the year, mate? Have I done you proud with those 30 mixed matchups we've had this season?
They've been phenomenal, and thanks to Top Sport. But I think, as you said, Cook or Coruscant would be the two threats to that. The game plans that we see, they sort of probably take those guys out of the game. And if one of those guys win it, then their team probably wins 15-plus anyway. So that probably cancels out with the two first half and second half starts there. So I like it. I'll be on it.
Yeah, actually, you make a good point there. Like, if Souths blow Penrith out of the water, then, like, could Damien Cook run wild? Like, he could, but then maybe Penrith wouldn't be within that 8 points at halftime. But I'm seeing a tight one, so you've got to kind of agree with me. It only has to be relatively tight, obviously, with a decent start in each half and flipping on each side, because I think Penrith have got that little bit more faith. They're going to be strong in the first half. Souths have got that bit more faith in the second half. That's the way I'm playing it, playing into what should be an absolutely phenomenal game. And thanks for joining me here. We've gone in-depth in previewing it and breaking it down. Hopefully people have appreciated our thoughts and appreciated all your work as well through the year, mate, because you've been sharing tips and reasoning behind it all season long. And good luck as we roll into the final game. Hopefully, for your sake, that Penrith Futures gets up as well, mate. But thanks very much for joining me.
No problem. Thanks, everyone. Enjoy the final.
Cheers, mate. And last thing I'll say, guys, is, you know, good luck. Let us know. Please share your feedback in the comments. I'll still do a recap at this stage. I'm looking at doing a live recap straight after the grand final, instant reaction to it, and see how our bets have gone. But the racing is all up and about with the Spring Carnival. We've got a racing preview show that debuted on Friday last week. Jason Campbell, Benny Scarf. So that's 5 p.m. Fridays on the Facebook page, Tripod Facebook page. And NFL show Saturday, 2:30 p.m. Is the props show. And 4 p.m. Sunday is Netty Given Sunday with a unique look at bringing the NFL to life with some bets as well. Whatever you're backing this weekend, do it responsibly. And as always, leggo.